Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So do electric vehicles make some poor unfortunate people more car sick? Well, a cursory look online might lead you to believe so, because social media is littered with accounts of nauseous EV passengers. But is there any real explanation as to why it might happen, and can the manufacturers do anything about it? Well, I'm joined by Neil Briscoe, who's a motoring journalist with the Irish Times and CompleteCar.ie, and Dr. Phil Kieran, who's a GP in Cork City Centre. And you're both welcome. Neil, I'll start with you. Did you know about this? Have you heard about it? People feeling more car sick in EVs?
Yeah, morning, Claire. Yes, there have been some studies into this already, and it seems that there is certainly some correlation between the way EVs drive and the way our bodily systems work, and it can sometimes be a bit of a struggle between the two. Basically, what's happening is we've gotten used to over 150 years of cars which have combustion engines at one end or the other, and we've become accustomed to the cues that those give off, and that instructs our body as to what's about to happen next. And the trouble is, when there's no cue coming because there's no engine and therefore there's no engine sound, that can cause a bit of confusion. And in that confusion between what your eyes and ears are seeing and hearing and what your inner systems are feeling in terms of the movement of the car, that's when you can start to get motion sickness.
It's like being on a roller coaster, because you don't know if you're a passenger in an EV. What you're saying is, because there are no cues, you don't know what's going to happen next.
That's basically it. I mean, that's kind of the root of most forms of motion sickness. It's that disconnect between what your body's vestibular system feels. It tells you that you're moving and that there's things happening around you, and what your eyes and ears are picking up. Because, as I said, I mean, 150 years isn't really enough time for evolution to have taken hold, but we've certainly become used to the way cars have operated in that time. And now we're entering an era where cars operate differently, not massively differently, but even a slight difference can be enough for some people just to trigger that response.
Well, let's get the doctor's opinion. Phil, do you agree with all of that, that might be what's happening?
I do. I think Neil has given a clearer description of why motion sickness happens than I managed to get across in some consultations about it. But he's dead right. I hadn't come across this until I read the articles about it, and I was trying to figure out why it might be. And the lack of auditory cues was the thing that I came up with as well. So it's interesting that is what they think it is in the research. I do think, like, motion sickness happens with this disconnect between what our balance centers, our vestibular system, tells our brain is happening and what our eyes tell our brain is happening. And so, particularly in cars or in boats and large vehicles, where the surroundings that you see in your peripheral vision look stationary, but your vestibular system is telling your brain that you're moving, your eyes say we're not moving, your brain says we are moving, and it compromises by just making you feel sick.
Some people don't get motion sickness ever, though, do they? And others, you'd be, 500 meters down the road and you've got a problem.
Absolutely. Like, there are some people who, my own kids, you can put them in the back of the car and they will sit down with their heads in their books and they can read away without getting a hint of motion sickness. Whereas other people, unless they're driving the car themselves or sitting in the front passenger seat staring out the front window, they'll be sick by the end of the driveway. So it really is dependent on how that interaction between the part of your body that senses direction and movement and your eyes, how that interplays with each other, determines on whether you get motion sickness or not.
So Neil, the car manufacturers are clearly aware of this. If we're talking about it, they know that it might be a problem. So what sort of solutions are they looking at?
Well, it's funny, Claire. I think, generally speaking, there probably doesn't really need to be a solution for this. It's probably just something that we all need to get used to, which will naturally happen over time. But if car companies want to do something, or even just to be seen to be doing something in the meantime, there has been some research that shows that ambient lighting in the cabin, that shows that heated and cooled seats can help, and that, basic simple stuff like don't eat too heavy before you go out in the car, don't look down at a phone or a book, keep your eyes up and looking out the windows is where you can see a visible horizon, and that things like that really help. What might also help is we've seen some car makers with their high-performance electric cars put in an artificially generated engine sound because that's what enthusiastic drivers still want to hear. Well, maybe that technology could also be turned to help those people with car sickness, because if the sound matches the movements, it all helps to feed into your brain and your brain will go, oh yeah, this is what's happening now, and then you won't feel so sick.
The braking technology in electric vehicles, has that been linked to motion sickness as well, Neil?
Yeah, there has been a study that looked into that. Electric vehicles brake slightly differently. They do still have conventional physical steel brakes, like any other car. But most of the braking in an EV is actually done by the mechanical drag of the electric motor or motors. That's what does the majority of the slowing down. And the thing is, that's a very different sensation. If you have mechanical brakes and you put your foot on the brake pedal, you get a sudden sharp deceleration, even if the driver is being pretty gentle with the pedal. If you're using the electric motor to slow down, it's a slower, longer, low-frequency process. And that has been linked with some forms of motion sickness. It's a bit tricky to tell exactly how it causes it. But again, it's probably just to do with this. We've been used to this one thing, and now we're having to get used to another thing.
So interesting. And Phil, when it comes to dealing with motion sickness, I remember years ago, one of my sisters had to sit on a telephone book in the car. I don't know if that worked, but what are the solutions? We don't have phone books anymore. What do we do now?
No. I suppose I'm just trying to figure out why that would have worked for your sister. I suspect that it meant that she had a better view out looking at the horizon, as Neil was saying. So looking at something that gives your eyes the stimulus that you are actually moving is one of the key things. There are a couple of other things that can help. So there's some evidence to say that taking ginger or sucking on a ginger-flavoured sweet can help reduce nausea. When I was younger, I remember a load of people had these C-bands, these acupressure things that you wore on your wrists.
And oh, yes.
There's one or two trials that say that they do work. There's one or two trials that say that they don't. But they have no harm in trying it. So if you do get car sick or motion sick, it's a good place to start. There are sort of weird and wonderful things as well. I've seen these glasses that you can wear that have these fluid-filled loops. There's two in front of your eyes and two beside your temples, which look super weird. But in theory, they could give your eyes the feedback of what the movement is happening and help reduce
describe those to me again.
They look like you're wearing, do you know those glasses that are straws as well that
yes.
you can drink and it goes around these loops in front of, they look exactly like that,
uh-huh.
except you've got two in front of your eyes and two beside your temples, and they have this little coloured bit of fluid in them that moves back and forth.
I
personally would probably opt for looking out the front window.
Yeah, I think they sound like they would make you feel sick if you'd never been car sick. But anyway, whatever works. What about medication then? Is there anything you can take?
So there is. There's medications you can take for car sickness or for motion sickness. A lot of these are antihistamine-based. And what they're effectively doing is they're sedating the signals coming from the balance part of your vestibular system. So they're taking, if we think of motion sickness as being caused by a mismatch of the signals your body's getting from your eyes and your balance organs, and if you turn one of them down by taking an antihistamine that causes a bit of sedation, particularly to those nerves, then you're reducing that mismatch a bit.
Mm.
Now, that can have unwanted side effects, such as it can cause symptoms like dry mouth, or it can cause drowsiness. So obviously, if you're driving, it's not ideal. But a lot of them don't cause those symptoms, but that's generally how that medication works.
But you'd rarely come across the driver being car sick. Isn't that the case?
No.
Yeah, it's a passenger.
And that's where, so if you can drive, you're less likely to get car sick. Or if you can be the front passenger staring out as if you're driving, you're much less likely. And that's because you're getting all of the stimuli, you're preparing for all of this. Like, so when the car starts to slow down, when you take your foot off the accelerator as the driver, you intuitively know it's going to do that. So your brain is ready for that sensation that it gets from the balanced part of your brain. Whereas if you have your head buried in a phone in the back seat, it comes on out of the blue. So being in the front seat, staring out at the horizon and seeing the world moving around, that will reduce the motion sickness that
mm-hmm.
you get.
I'm just wondering, Neil, as we look ahead to driverless cars, whether this is going to be more of a problem in the future.
Well, potentially, yeah, because if you're sitting in the car and there's a driver, at least you can see them. You can see their hands moving, you can possibly see their feet moving. That gives you some indication of what's going on. If you take a driver out altogether, yeah, autonomous cars, if they ever happen in a mass scale, which is still a big if, yeah, you're going to lose another set of cues. But I do think that, I think there's a bit of a tendency to hype these things up and to go, oh my God, electric cars are making people car sick. No, cars make people car sick, and they always have done. I remember when I was a kid, my mum and my sister couldn't be driven around in my grandmother's car because for some reason it just made them horribly, horribly car sick, which they didn't get in any other car. So it's just something that's always been going on.
That's interesting, isn't it? Did you ever find out as you went through your career, and you know so much about cars now, what it was about that particular car that made them feel so sick?
Well, my gran had an Alfa Romeo Alfa Sud, and that was a really beautifully engineered car back in the late 70s, early 80s, and I suspect it was just much smoother on West Cork roads than they were used to from the other cars that our family had at the time. And maybe that was what was making them sick.
A bumpier car perhaps helps a little bit, because you know what's going on. And like you were saying, it all comes back to the cues, you know, whether they're things that you feel or you see or you hear, you might be less likely to be sick.
Exactly. So something that's giving you sensations, something that's telling you what's going on around you, that's the thing that'll take away the sickness, aside from, you know, the potential treatments that we've been talking about as well, which can be effective. But it's all to do with sensory input and how your body reacts and responds to that.
Well, thank you both. And we'll all have to invest in those fabulous sounding glasses, Phil. Dr. Phil Kieran there, who's a GP, and Neil Briscoe, motoring journalist with the Irish Times and also with CompleteCar.ie. Next up, Fetney Fagan is with us in the studio to answer all of your pet questions.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.